After Calvary, the Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Did you get that? Do you care if I sing it again? It's so short.
Let's try it again, Jess.
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. That's him.
If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Want to speak and preach on a message this morning. Never been this way before. Lots of times in our lives, there's different, whether it's a marriage, we had a wedding here yesterday, it's a graduation, it's a new job, it's a new baby, a lot of things that we'll endeavor. When Rhonda and I came here, we'd never been this way before. We'd never pastored, didn't know about it. And this will cover a multitude of things, not only graduation and not only, but a lot of things in our lives. See, the children of Israel was just now coming. They had come out of Egypt, and they'd been wandering in the wilderness 40 years. Now Moses was gone, and Joshua was the leader, and they were getting ready to cross over into the promised land. God gave them some final instructions here, and through Joshua, and they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And see, they had a river that was uncrossable. At this time, and according to the Bible, it says that it was flowing out of its banks, so it was in flood stages in the harvest season. And they said that most of the time that this river would probably be 100 foot wide, that this time it could be a mile or even bigger. That it was over in the flood stages. The waters were raging. The waters were rolling. And they were needing to get to the other side. And a lot of times in our lives that we have, that it's different. See, he's told them to keep their eye on the ark, because you've never been this way before. Let me go ahead and read that verse. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you would, stand with me. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you can control the rivers that we have to cross. Lord, that your power is ever more present. Lord, we're so thankful that as believers in you, that power lives within us, and not our power, but your power. And you empower us in our day-to-day living. You empower us to get up and brush our teeth of a morning. You empower us to eat a bite. You empower us to get up and get dressed and get about the day. But Lord, we're so thankful for the power of God that is so present and so evermore. Lord, that you're out there, and we pray that you control the rivers that we're going across. Lord, we pray, and we're so glad that you control the weather. You control everything. And Lord, we're just so thankful for it. And we praise you and ask you to move and minister to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Never been this way before. They were getting ready to cross over in to the promised land. They'd heard about it a long time. You know, it's kind of like heaven, isn't it? We've never been. We've heard about it a long time. We've heard how sweet it's going to be, how nice it's going to be, and a lot of things, but we've got some rivers we've got to cross to get there. We just got to keep holding on and keep trusting the Lord that He said He'd get us there one day. Amen. He promised way back there, promised Abraham, He said that they'd be going, and He promised all of the patriarchs, and He said there's a land flowing with milk and honey, and one day that your people, your children, your children's children, they'll be there. And this was the time. Can you imagine? I'd like to think about things. Can you imagine the excitement? I mean, we've been talking about hundreds of years. They've been wandering in the wilderness 40 years. This was the day. Joshua had said three days, and then it come to the day, and then he say they are getting ready to cross. And then they get up to the river, and you can't even see across it. Woo! Got a bunch of children with us. Got a bunch of animals. Wow in the world. Are we going to get across this thing? Amen? You ever been there? You know, there's some blessings on the other side, but boy, it's going to be tough getting there. And this morning as we look, and I'm thinking, and I kind of geared this up for graduates, but I think we can all get something out of it. But there's some good days ahead of you all. But boy, there's going to be some rough rivers you're going to have to cross before you get there. There's going to be some bleak days. There's going to be some bad days. But I want to give you a little bit of things to sink your teeth into and kind of keep with you to get you through the next few years. And each of us, see, when crossing, there's some things that I want us to keep in mind. In verse 5, the first thing I want us to look at, he said, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Well, glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, that right there would make anybody shout. He said, it's getting ready to happen. We've waited a long time. We're getting ready to go, and God's getting ready to do something wonderful right here. And I'll tell you what, if we could preach this, I could preach this to the church. I could preach this to every one of us in our situation. God's getting ready to do something good. I'm so glad this morning that I can have faith and hold on to that He's getting ready to do something good in our lives. Praise the Lord. But the first thing that he said was God's cleansing. You see, this is what we got to do. If we want his blessings, we have got to be cleansed. He said to sanctify yourselves. That means to set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself. To dedicate yourself. Prepare yourself. Be hallowed or be holy. See, we are not going to obtain favors from God when we allow sin into our lives and we're not holy living people. He don't owe us anything if we allow. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." When we allow sin to come into our lives and we're not set apart, that we can't ask the favors of God and expect Him to deliver. It's basically two things. The first one here is it's a personal repentance of every known sin. See, Israel found their way blocked in the way it was. Their sins had come between them. And us, when we get blocked from God, we allow sin to come in our lives. And we're not going to have victory in our lives. We're not going to cross the Jordan rivers that's ahead of us. We're not going to be able to get over into the promised land and enjoy the things that God has for us as long as we allow sin to come and be part of our lives. See, that's in the past. We're to get away from that. He said, that's the old man. Put off the old man and put on the new. The greatest thing I ever did do was when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you, there's something about it. There's something about the different living that God can do for us. Seeing the effect, we might say, well, what kind of effect does sin have on us? Well, if you look, and just a little later on, we see what happened to the nation of Israel. Israel went in and just ransacked Jericho. The walls crumbled down. Well, they went into into a little town of Ai, was just a very few people in comparison, and they didn't even send all of Israel. Say, oh, we don't need everybody for this. And they had to run from Ai because there was sin in the camp. And when we allow sin, God's not going to part the victories for us. God's not going to part the rivers for us. On one of the greatest days in Israel's history, Joshua come and said, you need to examine yourselves. Confess and forsake your sins and devote yourself wholly to the Lord. Because we're getting ready to go somewhere we ain't never been before. We're getting ready to do something we've never been for. We're getting ready to do things, and young people and everyone, and I'm not picking anybody out. I tell you what, if you want victory in your life, if you want things to go well, we'll abstain the very appearance of evil. Avoid sin at all costs and run from it as Joseph did when Potiphar's wife cast her eyes at him and he left his coat and he ran. I didn't mean to tell it, and I've used this so many times, but I'm going to pick on Rhonda on this one. After the wedding yesterday, I was exhausted and went home and went to bed. And I was sleeping like a baby. Here come my wife in the house in panic. Woke me up. Get up! I said, what in the world? I thought I were playing the Christ in the house or something. There's a snake in the yard. What'd you come to me for? She said, it's a black snake. And I said, well, it's okay, let it go. No, sir, she would not be quiet until I got rid of that rascal. Got me out of bed, tucked me out, and we had to get rid of the snake. Now, what if that had been a little kitten? She wouldn't have been near as tore up at him. I'd have shot it too, though, probably. I was kidding, Janice. But that snake, if we would look at sin like a snake, they wasn't either one of us going nowhere near that thing. But if it had been a kitten, we'd have grabbed it up. It might have scratched us. There wasn't no chance that snake getting us. If we looked at sin the same way we look at a snake, we wouldn't be nowhere near it, and we wouldn't get affected by it like we do. Amen. 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 I'll get off that and go on. And then another is putting ourselves on spiritual alert. See, he had said, you know, something big is getting ready to happen. And you need to be right. You need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be aware of what's going on and within our lives and in things that we come and in the world today and in graduations and in jobs and everything, that there's something big, something getting ready to change, something is going to be different than it's ever been. And I tell you what, we need our spiritual awareness on. Or we need to have our eyes, our spiritual eyes open and be ready and looking around behind every bush. And this is what he was telling them to do, that God's going to do some amazing things, and you better set aside your pleasures. You better set aside what you think's good, and you better put aside what makes you feel good and do what makes you spiritually sound. Amen. See, to cross the uncrossable, we first got to fix our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, and that's the most important thing that we ever do. Don't never take our eyes off of the Lord. Amen. And set ourselves apart from sin unto Him. Don't be involved in the things of the world. Don't be involved in the sins, and keep your eyes on the Lord. The next thing, not only is God's cleansing, we want to look at God's empowering. And verse 3 and 4, the Bible said, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits or 3,000 foot by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Then in verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. See, to looking and thinking about the ark, what we need to do, and thinking what was so important about this box. This was a box they carried around made out of acacia wood. And then it was wrapped in gold. Had cherubims on each side, the wings coming over in the middle. And the plate on top was gold. Thinking about what was so important of that. For us to really find out the importance of it, we've got to look inside it. Think about what was inside the box. And what was inside the box, and one thing was the stone tablets. Had the Ten Commandments on it, which the finger of God wrote. Amen. They had those tablets inside that box. And this was the relationship with God, the sign of the Ten Commandments. He come down and spoke to man and with his hand wrote some rules down. Amen. Then the next thing that was in there was a pot of manna that they had kept from being in the wilderness. Now, just after this, after they get over in the promised land, the manna ceases. And then some of the last year's corn. And then they started eating, and manna is just about to cease. But now the manna was in there, showing that God's provisions for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. Can you imagine? I heard a preacher say one time, and I believe him. He said he thought that what manna really was, it was a round substance, and it was kind of crusty-like. And he believed it's Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, I agree with him. But there was a pot of manna was in that box also. And to show that God had provided for the nation of Israel. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and going out and gathering where God had rained down and God had just let manna fall from heaven? Boy, when we go through a grocery store, it's the same thing. That's the blessings of the Lord. When we go down to the produce place down on the corner and get them apples and everything that we get, and them big old baiters, that's God's provisions. God's good to us, isn't it? These things we need to remember and keep in mind. Also in that was Aaron's rod. It was a dead stick that budded and put forth fruit. It's just a rod that he had and it budded and come out. And that showing God accomplished that his with his power can accomplish anything that comes our way. But then on that was the mercy seat, where sin was forgiven, where the blood was applied, and our sins were done away with. See, we're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about when Israel had the Ark of the Covenant, this was God being with them. This is what it was kind of like we would say Emmanuel, God is with us, and we describe Jesus, and all it was a picture of Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel with us. We think about Jesus being with us and the power of God, the Holy Spirit now dwells and lives within inside of us. And this is equivalent to what that was, how important the Ark of the Covenant was to Israel. He gave them some, told them, said, now don't get no closer than 3,000 foot. We want everybody to be able to see. We want you to distance and won't be able to go. And so that you know what happens if you get cluttered up? You get sidetracked. He said, stay back far enough. See, that's some things in the Word of God that we have to handle and stay away from. Do you know what I mean? Some things we just take by faith, and we don't have to know everything, and we don't have to be able to explain everything out of the Word of God. I wish I could, but I can't. And these fellers that can, I wonder about them sometimes. Preacher Cutshaw, you say these. I just take it by faith, and when I get to heaven, I'll know. Instead of filling in the blanks. But I want to just share something with you. The Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments. The law. Jesus fulfilled the law in Matthew 5:17. The Bible talks about Jesus fulfilling the law. The Ark was preserved the manna that God fed in the wilderness. In John 6, the Bible says Jesus is the bread of life. The ark held a symbol of God's power to bring something dead, bringing it alive. Well, Jesus has come out of the grave alive and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Everything that the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes, Jesus fulfilled and is it. Praise the Lord. And as we're constantly going in and out of rivers and changing and going across things, at those things come into our lives, these words comes up like cancer, words like creditors and words like crisis and national disasters and all of these things that come into our lives, it's still the same thing today as they give the as he gave them back then. The instructions was to keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, keep looking to him and looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, and he'll get us through the rivers, he'll get us over the mountains and down through the valleys. See, if you notice, when Peter walked on the water, he did good until he took his eyes off of Jesus. He'd have walked it as long as he wanted to, as long as he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus. When he started looking at the troubles and the trials and the hardships, he started sinking. Then the third thing is God's presence. Verses 7 and 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priest that to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water at Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now, let me help draw another little picture here. They're on at the Jordan River. And they say it's probably a mile wide now. You take something that's usually 100 foot wide, and now it's a mile wide, what's that tell you? That water's moving. They say probably 40 miles an hour. That's moving through pretty quick. So you look, now these guys has got the Ark of the Covenant on the staves up on their shoulders, and Joshua says, now step out in the river. What are you talking about? They had to step in the river and stand still. Glory, hallelujah. I've got the Holy Ghost bumps right now. And they had to, by faith, they had to take and step out in the river. I tell you what, when God leads us somewhere and God's got a job for us and God is calling and put us in a direction that we ought to go, close your eyes and take that leap. Close your eyes and go ahead and step in, and it's going to be all right. When they went and they had to see, faith moves ye into God's way. We'll never cross no river without the faith in God. Amen. Hebrews 11 says it's without faith it is impossible to please God. Amen. There's no way that we'll ever please God by looking down at the river and tapping our toes in it. He said, now put your toes in it and see how cool it is. Get in it. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Get in it waist deep. Go ahead and get in over your head. I'm right there with you. I'll take care of you. But some of it steps out at me, jumps out at me. He said to step in, then stand there. I'd be hightailing it to the other side, wouldn't you? You know what? Don't tell. Wonder how long they had to stand in it before it started parting. He said, get in the river, get wet. Glory, hallelujah. They got in there. All the people had their eyes on the ark. The priest went out there, and then they said, then I could hear one of them say, hey, wait a minute. The river is receding. It's going down. It's back down to normal now. Well, that's about half what it usually is. Glory, hallelujah. It's dry ground. Glory, hallelujah. The Bible said that the waters backed up, that there was a heap of waters back 19 miles to Zarethan. And when you look, and all those waters were back that way, and then the Bible says that down toward the Dead Sea, that it was dry. Glory, hallelujah. Went from a flood to dry ground, brother. But if something that jumps out at me about this is the people that was above that miracle, they said, what in the world's going on? Where's all this water coming from? Something bad's happened downstream. There's been a big tree fall across the creek. And then the people that was downstream, what's going on up the river? Whew, the water's quit. When God works in your life, people's going to know it. They're going to see His hand. They're going to see the miraculous work. They're going to know that there's a God in heaven. They're going to know that something supernatural's happened. They're going to know that you didn't do it. Ain't that good? Praise the Lord. The riverbed was dry, and they walked over on dry ground. Then the last thing is God's memorial. He said in verse chapter 4 then, verse 2, he said, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's foot stood firm, 12 stones, and ye carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever and ever. Amen. See, folks, when we allow God to move and work in our lives, we need to set a memorial up. We need to see our grandkids need to see us reading the Word of God and praying. Our children need to see us making our way to the house of God. Our devotion to God. They need to see us putting our tithes in the offering plate. They need to see us doing the things of God. Being obedient to the will of God. Being obedient to the Word of God. And setting up memorials that them children will remember the rest of their lives. Future generations would look at these stones and say, what happened here? What in the world's with this? Son, come over here. I got to tell you something. Amen. Hey, man. Let me tell you what God done one day. Let me tell you what God done in my life. Let me tell you how God delivered me from something. Let me tell you how God healed me from cancer. Let me tell you how God took care of the addiction problem I had. Let me tell you how God took care of a bad temper I had. Let me tell you what God's done for me. There's something that we don't really notice a lot. Look down at verse 9 in chapter 4. It said, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they were there unto this day. You ever thought about that? What in the world would you want to set a memorial up and the river's getting ready to come back up and cover it up? Nobody will ever know it. Why in the world would you set up in the middle of the river? I can see the one setting on up in the next camp, Gilgal. And we go, but why in the river? But Joshua and the children of Israel knowed it was in there. Amen. Amen. And when they got to the next river, guess what they could think? They couldn't see that memorial setting back at Gilgal. But when they started around Jericho, I believe Joshua might have said, you remember them stones out in the middle of the river? Well, glory! We couldn't get across the river, but God dried it up. And now there's a memorial in the middle of the river that we can go back to. And there's times in our lives and in our hearts that we need to have a memorial set up in our heart that we can go back to.
Amen.
Amen. See, what was it the Bible said about Mary when these things Jesus said? But Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She was setting up memorials. She was putting them stones up in her heart. And she knew that they were something special. And when Jesus was on the cross, she could look back on those memorials. And she could say, He's definitely the Son of God. I found this, I want to share this with you in closing. It's been said that God is like Ford, He has a better ideal. God's like Coke, He is the real thing. God's like Pepsi, He loves this new generation. God's like Standard Oil, you expect more from Him and you get it. God's like Dial soap, aren't you glad you know Him? God's like Bayer aspirin, He takes the pain away. God's like Hallmark, He cared enough to send the very best. God's like Tide, He gets a stain out that others leave behind. God's like VO5 hairspray, He holds in all kinds of weather. God's like General Electric, He always brings good things to life. God's like Ivory Soap, He is 100% pure. God's like Walmart, He has everything. And God's like Frosted Flakes, He's great. You know, this same miraculous power that took the children of Israel through the flooded Jordan River is available to us today. Amen. When we pass through the Jordan, Jesus is more real than He's ever been in our lives. And when we have the difficulties and we have the hardships, and we got that river that there is just no way that we're ever going to get across it, we just keep our eyes on Jesus. You may be here today and you've never called on Him as Savior. You really don't know Him as your Lord and Savior of your life. That'd be a good day to make that decision. Or you may be cold and indifferent. Or you may be facing the Jordan that you need some help through. This time of invitation, I invite you today to come. Allow Jesus to meet every need that you have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and grace. Father, we're so thankful today that we've got Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's nothing that we'll ever come to and cross that He can't get us over it and through it. And Father, I pray today that You use this message to touch our hearts and encourage us and challenge us and uplift us. And Father, get us ready for the battle that's ahead. Get us ready for the journey that's ahead. And Father, that You'd give us wisdom and we'd allow You to move in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail You. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us in Jesus.